Welcome to day 92 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let us return to the Hebrew Bible, reading 2 Samuel 1 to 3. David mourns for Saul and Jonathan. After the death of Saul, when David had returned from defeating the Amalekites, David remained 2 days in Ziklag. On the third day, a man came from Saul's camp with a clothes torn and dirt on his head. When he came to David, he fell to the ground and did obeisance. David said to him, "Where have you come from?" He said to him, "I have escaped from the camp of Israel." David said to him, "How did things go? Tell me." He answered, "The army fled from the battle, but also many of the army fell and died. And Saul and his son Jonathan also died." Then David asked the young man who was reporting to him, "How do you know that Saul and his son Jonathan died?" The young man reporting to him said, "I happened to be on Mount Gilboa, and there was Saul leaning on his spear while the chariots and the horsemen drew close to him. When he looked behind him, he saw me and called to me. I answered, 'Here, sir.' And he said to me, 'Who are you?' I answered him, 'I am an Amalekite.' He said to me, 'Come stand over me and kill me, for convulsions have seized me, and yet my life still lingers.' So I stood over him and killed him, for I knew that he could not live after he had fallen. I took the crown that was on his head and the armlet that was on his arm, and I have brought them here to my lord." Then David took hold of his clothes and tore them, and all the men who were with him did the same. They mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for his son Jonathan, and for the army of the Lord, and for the house of Israel, because they had been struck down by the sword. David said to the young man who had reported to him, "Where do you come from?" He answered, "I am the son of a resident alien, an Amalekite." David said to him, "Were you not afraid to lift your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" Then David called one of the young men and said, "Come here and strike him down." So he struck him down, and he died. David said to him, "Your blood be on your head, for your own mouth has testified against you, saying, 'I have killed the Lord's anointed.'" David intoned this lamentation over Saul and his son Jonathan. He ordered that the song of the bow be taught to the people of Judah, as it is written in the book of Jashar. He said, "Your glory, O Israel, lies slain upon your high places. How the mighty have fallen, tell it not in Gath. Proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice. The daughters of the uncircumcised will exult. You mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you, nor bounteous fields. For there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul anointed with oil no more. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, nor the sword of Saul return empty. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and lovely, in death, life and in death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you with crimson and luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan lies slain upon your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Greatly beloved were you to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen, and the weapons of war perished." David anointed king of Judah. After this, David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah?" The Lord said to him, "Go up." David said, "To which shall I go up?" He said, "To Hebron." So David went up there along with his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David brought up the men who were with him, every one with his household, and they settled in the towns of Hebron. Then the people of Judah came, and they anointed David king over the house of Judah. When they told David it was the people of Jabesh Gilead who buried Saul, David sent messengers to the people of Jabesh Gilead and said to them, "May you be blessed by the Lord because you showed this loyalty to Saul, your Lord, and buried him. Now may the Lord show steadfast love and faithfulness to you, and I too will reward you because you have done this thing. Therefore, let your hands be strong and be valiant, for Saul, your Lord, is dead, and the house of Judah has anointed me king over him. Ishbal, king of Israel. But Abner, son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, had taken Ishbal, son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. He made him king over Gilead, the Asherites, Jezreel, Ephraim, Benjamin, and all Israel. Ishbal, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and he reigned 2 years. But the house of Judah followed David. The time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. The Battle of Gibeon. Abner, son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbal, son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. Joab, son of Zeruiah, and the servant of David went out and met him at the pool of Gibeon. One group sat on one side of the pool, while the other sat on the other side of the pool. Abner said to Joab, "Let the young men come forward and have a contest before us." Joab said, "Let them come forward." So they came forward and were counted as they passed by, 12 for Benjamin and Ishbal, son of Saul, and 12 for the servants of David. Each grasped his opponent by the head and thrust his sword in his opponent's side, so they fell down together. Therefore, that place was called Helkath Hazurim, which is at Gibeon. The battle was very fierce that day, and Abner and the men of Israel were beaten by the servants of David. The three sons of Zeruiah were there, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. Now Asahel was as swift on foot as a wild gazelle. Asahel pursued Abner, turning neither to the right nor the left as he followed him. Then Abner, looking back, and said, "Is it you, Asahel?" He answered, "Yes, it is." Abner said to him, "Turn to your right or to your left and seize one of the young men and take his spoil." But Asahel would not turn away from following him. Abner said again to Asahel, "Turn away from me. Why should I strike you down to the ground? How then could I show my face to your brother Joab?" But he refused to turn away, so Abner struck him in the stomach with the butt of his spear, so that the spear came out at his back. He fell there and died where he lay. And all those who came to the place where Asahel had fallen died stood still. But Joab and Abishai pursued Abner. As the sun was going down, they came to the hill of Ammah, which lies before Giah on the way to the wilderness of Gibeon. The Benjaminites rallied around Abner and formed a single band. They took their stand on top of a hill. Then Abner called to Joab, "Is the sword to keep devouring forever? Do you not know that the end will be bitter? How long will it be before you order your people to turn from the pursuit of their kinsmen?" Joab said, "As God lives, if you had not spoken, the people would have continued to pursue their kinsmen, not stopping until morning." Joab sounded the trumpet, and all the people stopped. They no longer pursued Israel or engaged in battle any further. Abner and his men traveled all that night through Arabah. They crossed the Jordan, and marching the whole forenoon, they came to Mahanaim. Joab returned to the pursuit of Abner, and when he had gathered all the people together, they were missing of David's servants, 19 men besides Asahel. But the servants of David had killed of Benjamin 360 of Abner's men. They took up Asahel and buried him in the tomb of his father, which was at Bethlehem. Joab and his men marched all night, and the day broke upon them at Hebron. Abner defects to David. There was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. David grew stronger and stronger, while the house of Saul became weaker and weaker. Sons were born to David at Hebron. The first born was Amnon of Ahinoam of Jezreel. The second was Chileab of Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. The third was Absalom, son of Maacah, daughter of King Talmai of Geshur. The fourth was Adonai, son of Haggith. The fifth was Shephatiah, son of Abital. And the sixth was Ithream of David's wife, Eglah. These were born to David in Hebron. While there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, Abner was making himself strong in the house of Saul. Now Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, daughter of Aiah. And Ishbaal said to Abner, "Why have you gone into my father's concubine?" The words of Ishbaal made Abner very angry. He said, "Am I a dog's head for Judah? Today I keep showing loyalty to the house of your father Saul, to his brothers and to his friend, and have not given you into the hand of David. Yet you charge me now with a crime concerning this woman. So may God do to Abner, and so may he add to it. For just what the Lord had sworn to David, that will I accomplish for him, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, from Dan to Beersheba." And Ishbaal could not answer Abner another word because he feared him. Abner sent messengers to David where he was, saying, "To whom does the land belong? Make your covenant with me, and I will give you my support and bring all Israel over to you." He said, "Good, I will make a covenant with you, but one thing I require of you. You shall never appear in my presence unless you bring Saul's daughter, Michal, when you come to see me." Then David sent messengers to Saul's son Ishbaal, saying, "Give me my wife Michal, to whom I became engaged at the price of 100 foreskins of the Philistines." Ishbaal sent and took her from her husband Paltiel, the son of Laish. But her husband went with her, weeping as he walked behind her all the way to Bahurim. Then Abner said to him, "Go back home." So he went back. Abner sent word to the elders of Israel, saying, "For some time past you have been seeking David as king over you. Now then, bring it about, for the Lord has promised David, 'Through my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and from all their enemies.'" Abner also spoke directly to the Benjaminites. Then Abner went to tell David at Hebron all that Israel and the whole house of Benjamin were ready to do. When Abner came with 20 men to David at Hebron, David made a feast for Abner and the men who were with him. Abner said to David, "Let me go and rally all Israel to my lord the king, in order that they may make a covenant with you, and that you may reign over all that your heart desires." So David dismissed Abner, and he went away in peace. Abner is killed by Joab. Just then the da servants of David arrived with Joab from a raid, bringing much spoil with them. But Abner was not with David at Hebron, for David had dismissed him, and he had gone away in peace. When Joab and all the army that was with him came, it was told to Joab, "Abner, son of Ner, came to the king, and he has dismissed him, and he has gone away in peace." Then Joab said to the king and said, "What have you done? Abner came to you. Why did you dismiss him so that he got away? You know that Abner, son of Ner, came to deceive you and to learn your comings and goings and to learn all that you are doing." When Joab came out from David's presence, he sent messengers after Abner, and they brought him back from the cistern of Sirah, but David did not know about it. When Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gateway to speak with him privately, and there he stabbed him in the stomach. So he died on account of the blood of Asahel, Joab's brother. Afterwards, when David heard of it, he said, "I and my kingdom are forever guiltless before the Lord for the blood of Abner, son of Ner. May the blood guilt fall on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, and may the house of Joab never be without one who has a discharge, or who has a defiling skin disease, or who holds a spindle, or who falls by the sword, or who lacks food." So Joab and his brother Abishai murdered Abner because he had killed their brother Asahel in the battle at Gibeon. Then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, "Tear your clothes and put on sackcloth and mourn over Abner." And King David followed the bier. They buried Abner at Hebron. The king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. The king lamented for Abner, saying, "Should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, your feet were not fettered. As one falls before the wicked, you have fallen." And all the people wept over him again. Then all the people came to persuade David to eat something while it was still day. But David swore, saying, "So may God do to me and more if I taste bread of anything else before the sun goes down." All the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, just as everything the king did pleased all the people. So all the people in all Israel understood that day that the king had no part in the killing of Abner, son of Ner. And the king said to his servants, "Do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? Today I am powerless, even though anointed king. These men, the sons of Zariah, are too violent for me. The Lord pay back the ones who does wickedly in accordance with his wickedness." As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? David mourns the deaths of Saul and Jonathan. He stated a lamentation over their memories, despite Saul's repeated efforts to kill him. God anointed Saul, and yet Saul did not live up to God's will. How do we align Saul's actions and David's response to his death? Now let's move to Revelation 19 to 20. The rejoicing in heaven. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power to our God, for his judgments are true and just. He has judged the great whore who corrupted the earth with her prostitution, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants." Once more they said, "Hallelujah, the smoke goes up from her forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who is seated on the throne, saying, "Amen, hallelujah." And from the throne came a voice saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants and all who fear him, small and great." Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters and like the sound of mighty thunder peals, crying out, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. To her it has been granted to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." He said to me, "These are true words of God." Then I fell down to his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers and sisters who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." The rider on the white horse. Then I saw heaven open, and there was a white horse. Its rider is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name inscribed that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, wearing fine linen, white and pure, were following him on the white horse. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule with them a scepter of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name inscribed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The beast and its armies defeated. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun. With a loud voice, he called to all the birds that fly in mid heaven, "Come, gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of the mighty, the flesh of the horses and their riders, flesh of all, both free and slave, both small and great." Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to wage war against the rider on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who had performed in its presence the signs by which he deceived those who had received the brand of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were killed by the sword of the rider on the horse, the sword that came from his mouth, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh. The 1,000 years. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the pit and locked and sealed it over him, so that he would deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be let out for a little while. Then I saw thrones, and those seated on them were given authority to judge. I also saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony to Jesus and for the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its brand on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him 1,000 years. Satan's doom. When the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations at the four corners of the earth. Gog and Magog, in order to gather them for battle, they are as numerous as the sands of the sea. They marched up over the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophets were. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. The dead are judged. Then I saw a great white throne, and the one who sat on it, the earth and the heaven, fled from his presence, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Also another book was opened, the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works as recorded in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And all were judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire, and anyone whose name was not found written in the books of life was thrown into the lake of fire. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? We have read of dragons defined as the devil and Satan. Those who served as witnesses to Jesus are described as not worshiping the beast or its image. How might this imagery inform us on the evils of worshiping false idols? What might this look like in our daily lives? How in our current culture are power and money idolized over the teachings of Jesus? Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one. Thank you.